have dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again.
This is episode number 34 of Bellcore Radio. I think it's 34. We missed last week, so yeah, 34 of Bellcore Radio. This is Ponyboy, and I am joined by
Mesa
and the Spin Drifter.
And tonight we've got a very special episode to make up for the fact that we missed last week. Unfortunately, we have absolutely zero news for freaks, unless you guys have heard of something recently.
Nada.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Damn. No news for freaks, but we do have a phone number, which we might be calling later on in the show. Because I have to figure out how to three-way a call-in right now. I guess to start it off, since we don't have news for freaks, we can jump into non-freak-related other interesting stuff. And, I came across something on, let's see, PC World that, made me laugh. I don't know if you guys have heard of this already, but, have you guys heard about the new Trojan that's been going around lately? It's
the one that affects P2P networks and such, or people that use them?
Well, I don't know if it's specifically, I'm not sure if it specifically affects the people, like, only the people who use peer-to-peer, but from what I've gathered is it, when you get the Trojan, it looks for folders, like the default folders that peer-to-peer stuff would do, or that, you know, just in general, stuff that contains a large amount of, you know, image files, a large amount of video files or music files, and it just wipes them out. So, I mean, like, all people's, you know, pirated music or their, you know, porn collection or whatever is just gone.
That We can never fail to not mention porn in any episode, I swear.
I'm trying to get it out
like,
early.
There has never been one episode that we have not mentioned the word porn at least once. I don't know. I just find that kind of amusing, but yeah.
I don't know. What's your take
on
this, Spindrifter?
It's, pretty crazy.
I mean, I thought, like, this is one of those things that I've always secretly thought about, and I thought, man, that would be a funny thing if, like, you know, that would be a Trojan that I would be proud to say I wrote, you know? Of course, everyone would hate me after that. But, I mean, that's just one of those things that, I mean, it's not really doing anything extremely evil. I mean, it is, you know, it's going in, it's disabling your security stuff so it can get in, but other than that, I think that it in a sense, I suppose, has a good intent, I guess you could say. Of course, a lot of people probably don't see it that way, but they're probably missing their porn folders as well.
Oh no, not our porn!
Yeah, and I'm
trying to get my music voice to rip, and I might drive people to enjoy and try out and see if they want to buy it for themselves. The last thing I need is to be picking up free for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true. I mean, seriously, think about all the people, like, that have legal stuff that just rips on their computer and everything like that. I mean, if I, like, took the time to rip my movies onto my hard drive or something like that, I'd be pretty pissed off if somebody, like, come along and assume it was pirated and just had it as a fault.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, I still think that it's just one of those things that you look at and you can't help but laugh and think that it's a cool idea, you know? Regardless, like,
oh, yeah, I mean it's funny, you know, because it's like, oh, you know, sucks for you. But
yeah.
Then if it happens to you, you're like, well,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, personally, I think it's one of those things that if, like, you know, if it came on and it deleted my porn folder, I'd be pissed, but it's one of those things where, like, you can't help but, like, smile. It's like, dude, this is, I mean, still, it's just, it's that cool.
You go to look at your porn one day, it's like, oh, man, I got a whole night of watching porn ahead. I mean, you go in there and it's all gone. It's like, what the hell happened? Where did all my porn go? You know? I would laugh at somebody if that happened.
Well, that killed my TV viewing if that happened, because, I mean, I don't have time during the week to mess my broken DVR, so I'm just using, you know, peer-to-peer to download TV shows that I normally would watch on TV and upload them. And it's the same thing as fast-forwarding through them when I'm taping them anyway.
Yeah.
The commercials, and to have something monstrous like that eating away at my hard drive that I did not invite is just wrong. Because, I mean, this is telling what kind of damage that could do to my other personal files, not just the stuff that I, have to share. So that's just wrong. I mean, I haven't seen the article, so what's the origin of this? Do they know?
I'm not totally sure. I mean, like, what do you mean by what's the origin of it?
I mean, do they have any suspicions where this came from, or is this just someone on the outside just having a little fun with this, the file-sharing people?
I'm not sure. I mean, in the article I'm reading, it doesn't say. I mean, they're not sure where it started or what. I'm assuming it, you know, as a Trojan horse, I'm assuming it can really be, what am I trying to say? Be just really gotten from, you know, various locations. I don't know if there's one specific source that people are getting it from, like peer-to-peer networks or what, but...
Well, I'm glad I used Panda Antivirus. Hopefully that will help defend me. I don't know for sure, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess, to be safe, don't use peer-to-peer networks. Don't copy that floppy, folks.
Oh, yeah. Did I make a song about that? Wasn't that a song?
Yeah, if I can find that song, I'm going to use it on one of the future episodes. But
funny stuff.
Hopefully I'll be able to find that, and I'll put it as the ending music tonight.
That'd be funny. I would laugh. Oh, man. But yeah, I've been away for a while, again.
Yeah.
Like usual. And, I'm back again. I don't know. I just kind of appear and then say I'm going to be here for a while, and then I don't because shit happens. Like, no time in my life, I plan. That's why I stop planning things, because I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll be on the episode more, you know, such and such, blah, blah, and then stuff happens, and then I can't do it. So I'm not going to promise anything anymore. I'm going to try my best, but I'm not going to promise I'm going to, like, be able to be on the show every week like I've been promising, like I used to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, trying to fill in space, I guess.
Well, actually, to kind of continue, I had a very nice segue planned out, but then it kind of got killed by this... you talking, basically.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I love you, too.
But the plan was to use that talk about piracy and peer-to-peer networks to talk about this next topic, which, in my opinion, is even more off the wall than the last one we just talked about. It appears that the Motion Picture Association of America, who was... my best friend, as everyone knows.
Of course.
It has a few new members, you might say. Some dogs named Lucky and Flo. And, now, these dogs aren't your average dogs. They're trained to sniff things out at airports and such. But not, you know, not drugs, not bombs like you would think. The MPAA trained these dogs to sniff out DVDs in order to try and, catch shipments of counterfeit, bootleg movies and stuff. But, I see this turning up more false positives than anything else, you know? I mean, you got to think,
yeah.
How many DVDs go through, you know, on planes, just from various retailers.
Yeah, get how would they know that? Like, does a DVD have a specific smell or something like that? Does it differ from like a CD or something, or what? I mean, I don't get it. How exactly that would work? Yeah.
I would assume because it's some sort of plastic that large quantities of fresh made plastic, say our DVDs, would naturally have a certain amount of chemical smell residual. Like, you know, when you're a kid and you had a brand new G.I. Joe doll, it still smells like polyvinyl chloride. So I'm assuming maybe the dogs can sniff out the trace amount that there's still left if it's being mass shipped. Like in some Chinese tourist luggage.
Well, I mean, what if it was like home movies or something, because now, you know, people like, I've taken movies that I've done or something like that and put it onto DVD, so, I mean, I don't think that's really practical, honestly, because you can, like, oh, you know, this guy must be pirating movies, and you open it up and just, like, a couple of family movies or something like that burn onto a new DVD or something.
I think it's
kind of
spite. If they were doing that at an airport that I knew I had to go through, if I had an hour to kill, I think I would just load up my suitcase with $1,000 worth of DVD cheap, you know, blank USA type DVDs, ripped with complete loop of Katie Couric's colonoscopy over and over again on each DVD. So that every time the cop went through a DVD trying to find a pirated movie, all he would see is more and more of Katie Couric's colon.
That sounds like it's going to be a new tradition for me. just
next time I go to an airport, I want to do that just to see if something happens.
Well, I don't know. Personally, when I think looped videos that I would love to make people watch, I think of a website specifically, and I know some of our listeners are going to get a kick out of this one because they know it. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's meatspin.com. Are you familiar?
can't say I've ever heard of it.
Alright, well, when you get a chance, in fact, if you're at a computer now, go ahead and go to meatspin.com.
Meatspin?
Yes, as in meat, like beef or chicken, and spin as in turning.
Alright. So, what the hell?
Oh, dude, that's not right. Dude, no. No,
no. Wrong. What is wrong with you, pony boy?
Now, that is something I would love to make customs officials watch.
Thanks for making me watch. I appreciate that.
Oh, my God. Thank you, pony boy.
I need eye bleach. Eye bleach.
Yes. Can anyone say pwned?
Oh, my God, pony boy. Yeah, how many times did you sit there and watch that over and over again?
Well, a little secret. I don't know if you'll, you might want to do this after the show, because I don't want to put any more dead air on it, but watch after it spins about 100 times or so.
Oh, yeah, I just saw it. That's a lot, because I'm not.
It's still on your screen?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, man, I just can't do that. I'm sorry. No.
What can I say? It's a catchy song.
Oh, man.
But, I
pony
guess...
Boy, I don't even want to know how and why you found that and watched it.
Oh, well, I know the guy who made the site, so...
Oh, yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah.
I know the guy that made a, you know, a site when some guy's thing spinning around. Yeah, that's real lovely.
I thought it was funny, personally.
That's not something to be proud of, by the way.
But I guess to sum up what we were talking about before the penis incident, the MPAA is either A, really dumb, or B, this is the best idea they've come up with. I can't tell. Because either A, it's going to work unbelievably good, or B, these dogs are going to turn up like 1,000 shipments from Amazon.com. I mean, that's what really, I mean, gets me thinking. Not so much, because, I mean, they're talking about putting them in FedEx distribution centers and stuff, where, like, you know, the people from FedEx load their trucks up to deliver the stuff, and I just see them, like, going nuts in places like that. With the amount of stuff that goes through, especially with a large shipping company like FedEx, which most online retailers ship through places like that.
Yeah, I just think they're stupid, basically.
Yeah.
Like, if they really think it's going to work, then I don't know. Who comes up with these ideas? What do they sit down and think, oh, yeah, this is a really good idea, so let's do it. I mean, do they actually put any thought into, you know, what actually will probably happen at all?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Oh, man. Like, I see the RIAA and MPAA getting, like, more stupid and more stupid as the months pass.
I see them getting a lot more desperate about what they're willing to go to try and keep, you know. They've started this witch hunt against pirates, pirates or whatnot, and they can't. I mean, if I think, looking at it from their perspective, I think they see it as, okay, if we stop now, then it's just going to explode. People are going to be like, oh, the MPAA gave up, so now we don't have to worry about anything. Let's go pirate all we want. And I think that's what I think they're afraid of that. And so they're
well,
just...
Then...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think they're just seeing it, and they're saying, well, oh shit. There's only one thing we can do to try and stop that, and that is to keep putting more and more and more security or protection measures in place that really don't help much. You know? I mean, people are still pirating stuff after all of what the MPAA has done. because they do something and pirates just hop one step ahead. I mean, it's not hard to bypass most all of their copyright protection stuff. And I mean, I think it's just a big dick measuring contest basically, and eventually I don't see the MPAA or the RIAA coming out on top in this matter. I really don't. They're going to keep trying to one up pirates, and pirates are going to keep trying to one up them until eventually one of them can't do it anymore. And I have a feeling pirates are going to win because there's a lot more of them.
Yeah, man, it's never going to... They may try and try and try, but there's no way they're ever going to be able to stop piracy. I mean, you can put some of the most elaborate security measures into place, and somebody will figure out how to get around it, and piracy will just keep going on. And I think they know they're defeated, but they think also if they give up now, that they'll look like, you know, they have no control over anything, you know?
Yeah.
They don't want people to just think, look, they really can't do much of anything, so they just went ahead and gave up, so, you know, they don't want to look weak, I guess. But, like I said, they'll never be able to stop it. There will always be somebody out there that can, you know, break the encryption, you know, so there's just no way.
I can understand the wanting to protect, you know, the general DVD production and whatnot, but the biggest piracy threat that the MPAA faced really is coming from China, because those guys don't know how to do small operations. They mass produce everything to pirate. The problem is, instead of the MPAA going after the real villain, the Chinese bootleggers, they're going after a couple of people in America who maybe stepped over a line by making a copy for a friend to borrow, so they originally get scratched up. They made 20 or 30 copies, or worse yet, went to the flea market and tried passing them off as original to prevent really good printers from printing up labels and stuff. And, well, that is, you know, really stepping over the line. At the same time, they're not the biggest problem. That's like trying to attack, like, a flea bite when you've got a dog tearing up right other end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that, but... again, that goes in with the fact that they're stupid in general.
I don't know, but speaking, and this is a great segue, I must say, speaking of stupid organizations, anybody here heard of Walmart?
Walmart, what's that?
Well, Walmart is this lovely company who is probably making the dumbest legal battle I've heard of in a long time. They're in a big, a scuffle, I suppose is a good word for it, to copyright their little trademark logo, which is the smiley face. Now, previous to this, there's a guy in France who says that, he invented the smiley face. Yeah, I mean, back in the 60s or whatever, he was the first person to draw a little circle and put two dots and a little semicircle. And he invented that. And, Walmart's like, yeah, but, it's ours and you can't have it. And, I mean, like, I don't know, do you guys see the stupidity in this?
Well, except for the fact that I hate Walmart, period. And if it just disappeared off the face of the earth forever, I wouldn't care. Yeah, I think it's pretty damn stupid.
I mean, it's like, you know, the smiley face has been public domain for an unbelievable amount of time, you know? And it's like, it makes you wonder, like, I mean, there are still a lot of things, like, a lot of, merchandise being produced that has the smiley face on it. So, I mean, like, if Walmart copyrights this thing, is that going to be... Like, every time someone makes a shirt or draws a smiley face on a piece of paper, Walmart can sue them if they want to.
If they win something like this, something's like really, really, really screwed up.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like you said, what?
Can I turn my age for a second here?
Yes, go quiet. Go right ahead.
I remember when you used to be able to get smiley face stickers on the inside of packages of toilet paper that they sold, cheap generic toilet paper sold in the grocery store back in the early 70s. And I remember I used to, you know, always bug my grandparents, oh, can I have the stickers, because they always put smiley face stickers in the toilet paper. If that's what Walmart wants to be associated with, fine by me.
Walmart reminds me of pooping.
So, hell, it's not far from the truth.
I am still kind of trying to figure out what the purpose of a smiley face inside the toilet paper is, but,
Yeah, I don't get it either, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it means happy times, because, you know, when you're sitting on the toilet and you're doing your business, it does make you pretty happy.
Yeah.
At least that's always been my experience, I don't know. Because I can tell you, once I get out of there, man, I feel like 10 times happier.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, like, it really, like, I mean, it makes me wonder a lot when it comes to, like, when it comes to that. I mean, like, that is one of the most well-known icons in the world. I mean, like, you've got the smiley face and you've got the peace sign. Those are, like, the, I mean, you know, not including religious symbols and stuff. Those are, like, the most well-known symbols. And I mean, all of a sudden, this symbol is owned by a company that really just started using it recently. I mean, it's not like Walmart's been using the smiley face since they, like, first came around. Because I think, unless I'm mistaken, in my lifetime, they just started using that smiley face. I think. I don't remember it before my lifetime, so.
I think you're right, because as a kid, I went in there, and I never recall ever seeing a smiley face anywhere in Walmart.
Yeah.
When I was, like, 5 or whatever, I really don't ever remember seeing anything like that.
Well, I don't know. Here, Spindrifter, you can show your age again if you'd like.
Well, back in the mid to late 80s, when Walmart first started cropping up in Florida, where I'm at, the only logo they really used that I recall was the Red Star, which in and of itself has its own evil connotations.
Yeah.
Communism. But, which is funny, considering they're the ultimate evil capitalist company, but I don't really remember them using the smiley face before the early 90s.
Hmm.
But they have really recently adopted that, and it just kind of got out of control from there. They started doing the wacky price-cutting floral commercials and things like that.
Communist Star. Now it all makes sense. But, I don't know. Walmart's stupid. We all hate them. So, I don't know.
So now, I understand that you have something to talk about with our listeners there, Spindrifter. And I'm gonna turn you over, or turn the show over to you, I should say. And, I'm gonna let you introduce, after that, whatever that was just popped, I'm gonna let you introduce what you want to talk about here, and, let you talk about it.
Hey, well, whenever you feel like cutting me off, just say, hey, shut up now, because I'll try to keep it short. I'm not known for being brief. I have been working for America Offline, I mean, AOL, they changed their name recently for legal purposes, kind of like being declared dead for a year for tax purposes, and I have been working in a department that handles a lot of sensitive legal material, and that particular department is in a call center in Jacksonville, Florida, one of the biggest they had in America. I think one of the biggest they had before that was Orlando, which they closed with little announcement last November. And I've been working there for a few months now. And I even had some aspirations of maybe getting hired on in the legal department, only because it looked like it was decent money and I wouldn't have to actually talk to people. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but AOL has always given the appearance of being a solid company. What's nothing of the truth. In fact, AOL is a dying company, which for a lot of people is good news. I personally would never touch their software unless it was to take the disk off, burn it for fun. But AOL has been tanking for some time, and business analysts have known that, but AOL's really tried hard to hide this fact. But they've had a lot of really bad lawsuit issues. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits. And a company can only sustain so many lawsuits over a period of time before the very value of the lawsuit itself starts to eat away the financial income of the business. But AOL secretly settled a lawsuit, which actually isn't secret anymore, it's public domain now, I'd like to talk about it, with their former parent company, Time Warner, for $3.43 billion. AOL isn't really worth $3.43 billion, even though I think Google just paid $1 billion to get a 10% share in AOL, for one reason I have no idea. But because of the huge amount of customer base that AOL has been hemorrhaging over the past few, well, years and months, really, it seems like it's getting exponentially worse as more and more people get tech savvy, learn how to use a computer, and say, hey, dial-up sucks, and they've been picking up things like DSL or cable modems, more power to them. AOL has actually tried co-branding with Time Warner Cable, saying, hey, why don't you get cable modems and pay for AOL? And people are smart enough to say, oh no, no, that's not going to happen. And more power to them for that. But what has happened was, AOL, looking for ways to cut money, naturally, would they make a better product? No. Would they provide better services for the customers? No. Could they, like, say, lower their price to compete with their competitors? No. They basically closed an entire call center and put 800 people, actually 1,200 people total, out of work without warning. Rumors started flying about 2 weeks ago that AOL was going to be closing the company. I think what happened was a supervisor who didn't like what they were doing leaked to the press, because the press was outside for days haunting the place trying to get answers. And the managers were telling us to our faces, no, nothing's wrong, nothing's happening, as they were cleaning off their desks. They literally were lying to our faces as they were packing their stuff. And sure enough, about a week after the secret announcement hit the press, then you just walk into work one day and it's like an assembly line of people waiting to fire you. They had you walk in the building single file, turn in your badges, turn in everything else, sign the paperwork. If you have possessions, security would escort you to get your possessions, and they literally threw you out the back door with your 60-day severance package. And it didn't matter if you've been working there for 6 months or 11 years, you got 60-day severance pay. That's it. A lot of these people are single mothers. They were, you know, hardworking students. These people were trying to make a living, trying to survive. And AOL was one of the bigger employers for call centers in Jacksonville. And the thing is, they kept saying they would never do what they did to Orlando ever again. Well, they're lying. And if there's anybody out there in the listening audience who works at the Ogden, Utah call center or the Tucson, Arizona call center, your job is in danger. You might want to put your resume out now. I'm not kidding. This is serious stuff. Your job is in danger. You will walk into work one day and be fired. That is how AOL treats their employees. I can't imagine how they treat their customers, but I'll tell you this. For those of you who try canceling your AOL account and think you're having a bit of a problem, it's all true. I can't go into the details, but I strongly suspect that AOL has been ignoring the problem so that they can get money for their dying company by deliberately letting people keep getting billed without going out of their way to stop it, because they need the money. And they have a 60-day cancellation policy, so if you cancel and you kept getting billed and you didn't call back for 6 months because you weren't paying attention to your credit card bills, guess what? You just got shafted out of 4 months of AOL payments at $27 a month because they just raised the price.
Okay,
I don't know what else to say on that.
I actually, on that topic that you mentioned just a second ago, I have noticed, for the longest time, me and my family were using AOL. We just recently, I guess a year or two ago, switched over and started using Comcast cable. But when my mom tried to cancel our AOL service, she ran into that exact problem. It got to the point where they gave her the runaround, and there was all these, you know, problems or whatever that came up to the, and it got to the point where she was like, well, just, you know, screw it then. And she still pays for AOL to this day. I mean, like, we still have the software installed on our computer. She doesn't use it. I think she still gets her email through AOL, since she is paying for it still, but, I mean, we have not actually signed on the AOL, through AOL in about a year and a half, or however long it's been since we've gotten our cable connection. And, I mean, it's just gotten to the point where it's just not worth even trying to talk to someone who is willing to cancel our service.
Contact your local district attorney's office. I would like to say at least 36 states have lawsuits right now against AOL, most of them class action, and I've seen a lot of the paperwork coming across my desk. You can, I think it's not too late. If any of you out there still have AOL and you're having problems canceling, please call your Better Business Bureau and or your district attorney's office, and they can help you.
Excellent. I'll definitely have to pass that one along to the parental units here, because I'm sure that they would love to try and save a little bit of cash on this.
Just don't be surprised when you call in if you get somebody named Gupta.
Yeah.
Nothing against persons of Indian descent, but most of the call center reps now that are still taking the calls are from the Philippines, India, South Africa, of all places, and China now. That's our new call center, is China. And while they've been training hard to train these people to do better with their customer service skills in English, the fact is the morning shift doesn't care. It's the same in America as it is overseas. I don't care what nationality, race, or religion, or sex you are, morning people aren't. So chances are, if you get a lousy call center rep, it's because he hasn't had enough coffee yet. Hours. Just remember that.
Yeah, I can honestly say from working at my job, we've got a pretty big call center there for, you know, not for customer support for an ISP, mind you, but just for the undisclosed job that they do where I work. But yeah, I really have noticed that a lot. Like, in the mornings, people who are there are not happy, and they're not going to want to try and help you if they can help it. They're just, I mean, they want to go to work and get paid, get their phone stats up, and then get the hell out of there.
All I've got to say is that pretty screwed up. I don't know what I could say.
Well, I can second that motion. It is pretty screwed up.
I've worked at a lot of call centers over the years. I don't know, I've had various sorts of tech jobs, customer service jobs for credit card companies and other service providers, as well as installation jobs with telecom industries. I've never seen a company treat their employees that bad on the simple. That's the worst I've ever seen. Worse than Citibank. And that's saying a lot, because I hate Citibank. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Ranting is good. Ranting is good. It gives us content. So,
I mean, Funny Boy knows all about ranting.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, there wasn't really a big topic to rant about this weekend. So,
I know. Usually 97% of the show is Funny Boy ranting about something he seriously hates.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good week.
Usually it's because he hates the RIAA or something. But,
yeah. Well, I mean, I can rant today. You know, I'm sure I can pull something out of my ass if you guys would like to hear me talk more about how the RIAA is destroying my future. But I think that I talked about enough of that on every episode since the beginning. But
Horse is twitching, but it's not getting up now.
Yeah.
Oh god. Good time.
So let's see, what else can we talk about? Because, looks like our topics list is dead. Well,
it's his turn? I thought it was Mesa's turn.
Yeah, well, that too. Mesa, are you still wanting to put forth that proposal you talked to me about earlier?
Sure. Okay. As most of you don't know, the reason, or actually, the mo- most of you probably do know, the reason I haven't been on the show is because I've been working my ass off a lot. Okay? But as of yesterday, I have quit my job. So now I'm out of work, and, you know, I'm deciding I'm taking this opportunity to get suggestions from our listeners of what types of jobs I should do. Okay? Or if you want to offer me a job yourself, that's fine too, you know, as long as it's not involving prostitution or something like that. But I want you guys to send an email to us suggesting what you want me to do as a job, and I'll put forth my best effort to get the job and or something similar and work for a week or so and let you guys know how it works. Or like I said, if you want to offer me a job, that's good too. But like I said, I'm taking this opportunity just to, you know, screw off and do whatever, because I'm not looking for a very serious job. Unless somebody offers me a job that pays like $20 an hour, then everything's off, because, you know, I can't turn down a $20 an hour job.
Exactly.
If you hear anything like that, I want to know about it, man. I'm looking for a job.
Well, that's two proposals put forth. I guess this is an ideal time to drop some contact information here. Send an email if you would like to, talk to Mesa about a job, or just sending in an email in so that we can talk about it on the air. The email address, as most of you know, is bellcoreradio@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on our voicemail box, which nobody has called, and the number is 206-666-8281. So if you have a job for Mesa, please call. Think of the children.
Yes, all zero of them that I have to feed. But, other than that, I don't really think I have much to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. You guys want to wrap the show up then, or, can we get nothing? No?
Well, mentioned earlier the worm that transgresses on peer-to-peer networks that you've heard about on PCMag.com, I guess you said?
Something like that, PC World or something similar.
I had the most recent issue of PC World, PC Mag, something like that. One of those PC issues that, you know, kind of peer pornography.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a new virus that's found that can migrate back and forth between computers, strictly PCs, by the way, and handheld devices, mainly handheld devices such as Windows-powered mobile phones and Windows handheld replacements for Palm devices, like, you know, PDA, personal data system. And this thing's really kind of curious. It actually goes looking for connected PDAs, but it doesn't just attack PDAs. It attacks any Windows enabled device, like both say media players, like in iRivers, iPods, any Windows recognizing MP3 playing device or video playing device can be attacked by this virus, and it specifically hides on computers looking for them. If I can find the information, I'll forward it to you, Pony Boy.
And do you happen to recall what exactly does the virus itself do? I mean, like, is it just in?
Targets files, and it keeps exponentially expanding itself. It's almost like a real virus in the real world, in that it keeps making more and more copies of itself in system file directories. It creates randomly named system files, new files, over and over again. That basically consume all of the computer's memory and hard drive resources.
Damn.
But it's a pretty nasty bug. I want to say it attacks directly the system directory. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Maybe I'll get lucky and find it.
And so,
talk about something else while I'm looking here.
Yeah. And so you said it only affects PCs, correct?
It attacks PCs, but it also attacks Windows-enabled devices, such as handheld computers running Windows CE or Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
But when it uses them as an infecting agent.
Well, what I was trying to say is for our Macintosh using friends. I don't know. Kind of off subject there. This kind of popped up. Have you guys seen these new commercials on TV for the Mac with the two guys talking?
I don't watch TV, so I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm on the same boat on that one. I haven't seen that.
Oh man, these things are driving me nuts. It's basically, from what I've gathered from watching like every commercial that Apple has ever made, they have to make themselves look good by talking shit about everything else. And basically, the point of these commercials is, it's two guys. There's a kind of old, you know, not old, but like, 40-something guy in, you know, his little button-down shirt and glasses and his comb-over hair, and he's the PC. And then there's the hip, trendy-looking guy in his t-shirt and jeans, and he's a Mac. And, they're talking about all this stuff, like, they're talking about, the iLife package that comes on the Mac that's got, you know, like, iTunes and, you know, iMovie and all that good stuff. And, the guy is like, yeah, it comes all bundled with the Mac. What does PC come with? And it's giving a totally, warped advert. It's a totally warped advertising campaign, because if you think about it, they're not targeting... A Mac comes with all this cool stuff because a Mac comes with Mac OS. The Mac itself doesn't come with this stuff. The operating system comes with this stuff. A PC doesn't come with PC OS. It comes with whatever operating system you put on it. You get what I'm saying? It's not... I mean, you can put Linux on it that has things that Windows doesn't. I mean, Windows has a lot of cool stuff on it that is more or less what a Mac has. And, I mean, do you guys get what I'm saying? Am I the only one?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
At least the Windows is stripped and Mac OS X is the real deal for Mac users anyway.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, personally, Mac OS X, considering I have been using Windows forever, Mac OS X is... Not hard to learn. Like, I've more or less, like, I use Macs at my work on occasion. And, I mean, they're not hard to use, but it's just, like, little things that get to you. Like, the placement of the little buttons on the title bar of a window is different. You know, it's on the left-hand side instead of the right-hand side. Just stuff like that, and they're, you know, flip-flopped, and it's confusing for a lot of people. I mean, I like Mac OS X. I really do. But, I mean, I don't see the huge hype with it, you know?
That's kind of funny, considering that Mac OS X can be put on the PC now.
Yeah.
With just a 5-minute tweaking. And that's kind of funny that they're trying to put down, you know, saying shit about PC when you can run Mac OS X on PC now.
I mean, when you really think about it, and you start looking at it, Macs are becoming more and more just like a PC anyways. I mean, started switching.
Intel's even making their processors now.
Yeah, I mean, Macs are PCs with a shiny bow tied around it, and some fun, clear plastic. That's all I really see. I mean, it's getting to that point where, I remember when Macs were, like, you know, they had Macintosh hardware. It had all this shit that was not compatible with a lot of other things. And, I mean, you know, I didn't go for it at that point in time. But, I mean, it seems like, you know, the more, like, they're switching over, and it's good, in my opinion. It's making things standardized. But they're launching a smear campaign against stuff that is more or less exactly what they're selling you.
Well, I think it's going to finally become something like Mac. Okay, yeah, they're going to have their own OS, and it's probably run on PCs, but Mac's going to make PCs, just like Gateway makes their brand of PCs, or Dell makes their brand of PCs. Macintosh is going to make their brand of PCs, too. but also offer an alternative OS besides Windows. Because now Windows can even run on Mac using this thing called, I think it's called Boot Camp or something like that. But you can run Windows on a Macintosh now. So, it's all becoming one thing now. It's like not really any difference, hardly at all.
I'm going to look for a tri-booting system myself. I think it would be cool if you could actually get school kids to learn how to use all three systems. You know, have a triple booting hard drive with Linux on it, OS X, or whatever the new version is, whatever garbage Windows has to offer. I think XP is going to be it for a while, but have the next generation of kids work on the computers themselves and find out what software they think is most agreeable with them. And that way, they will become a market that will drive change for creating a better OS. Because we only work with one OS, maybe two sometimes. You're eventually going to pick, you know, the one you prefer, but more often than not, you like what you're trained on.
Exactly.
People who grew up with Mac, that's all they work on is Mac. People who grew up with Linux, that's relatively new, that's what they stick with. I really think that more and more people would choose OS X or Linux if they had a chance to prepare all three and work in all three. And maybe that would force Microsoft to start making something a little more realistic. Not that there's anything really that wrong with them, so much as I've seen what a Mac can do in the right hand, and I've also seen how little resource space Linux takes up. And there's got to be a compromise you can put under somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what gets me, though, is that the new Windows Vista that's coming out is supposed to come out like the end of this year, the beginning of 2007 or so.
Yeah.
And it's the first OS that requires a dedicated GPU to run. If you don't have, you know, no more onboard video, you got to have a video card to run the operating system. And it's going to require, I mean, it'll be able to run on DirectX 9 cards, but it's made for DirectX 10 cards, and DirectX 10 games and applications won't be compatible on DirectX 9 cards, which is going to force a lot of people that want to run Vista to have to upgrade their video cards to, like, you know, the new top-of-the-line $500, $600 video cards, which is completely ridiculous, in my opinion.
I found that article when you're ready.
It's online?
It's in my hand. I don't know if it's online or not. I'll look at that later and send you the link.
Well,
but it's in the June issue of Smart Computing Magazine in the Tech News section on page 10. And basically, the name of the virus is called Crossover because it does, in fact, crossover. And the way it works is that it creates turmoil by deleting the My Documents directory and overwhelms system resources to that continuous replicating that it does by creating new files with slightly different names each and every time. And the real problem is the antivirus community doesn't know how to handle it. They don't know how to update their definitions to meet or exceed the demands of it until they actually see the source code. I guess somebody anonymously leaked this to MARA, Mobile Antivirus Researchers Association, and they're all up in arms about this thing because if this thing gets out of the contained environment of the laboratory, it'll wreak havoc because they do not know how to write antivirus for it yet. Let's see here. It each time the virus runs, it begins the process over and over again, creating new files in the Windows folder and registry, eventually creating enough data to hamper the system performance because Crossover uses unique names each time it creates the file. That's kind of what I was trying to say earlier. And Windows doesn't recognize the file data is indeed one and the same. When the PC initiates an active sync connection, the virus detects the connection and copies itself to the mobile device and moves on to the next computer. Huh.
That is really a cool virus. I mean, granted, it, you know, is kind of scary, but I mean, like, the way it works is really, I mean, like, it's a word that I can't think of. It's unique, I guess, is the best word I can think of to describe it.
Man, that's crazy. It really is like a real world virus. Because
it's a major threat to the sharing community. because let's say you've got a song you want to loan to a friend, and they've got a song they want to loan to you. You plug in your iRiver or whatever to their computer, bam, you just pick it up to them. You go home, bam, you just transfer it to your computer. You get online. This thing might even be able to spread your email for all we know. We don't know. It's a new version.
That's crazy because, I mean, it'll be able to spread. So, I mean, even if you don't have an internet connection, it doesn't even matter anymore. That's crazy. Guess not even having an internet connection anymore is audio safe, huh?
I don't know. All this
internet.
This virus nonsense scares me. I don't know. I live in constant fear of viruses, but I don't know that one. I mean, like, I'm amazed at, you know. I mean, granted, I don't really keep up with viruses very much, but I've never heard of, you know, something that works remotely close to that. I mean, I'm sure there's probably something that I've just not heard of, but I mean, it makes you wonder, like, what's next, you know?
I simultaneously admire the creativity of the minds behind it and loathe them, knowing full well that somewhere out there, someone among them or like them is going to, of course, naturally turn this loose as a bad thing. And guess who gets blamed for it? The hacking community as a whole.
Of course, because it's our fault.
I believe like 1 or 2% of the hacking community is actually the bad kind, and the rest of us just want to make things work the way we want them to work.
Well, it's our fault for not going and finding the guy and owning his box and destroying the virus. So it is the hacking community's fault, if you really think about it.
How do you stop a lone wolf?
What is the world coming? Exactly. And what is the world coming to? When Walmart's incorporated a smiley face, you have viruses replicating themselves over portable devices.
And dogs know how to smell dogs know how to smell DVDs. You know,
the world's gonna end soon, man.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's the signs. It is the end of days.
Oh my God, the omens are true.
I always knew the MPAA would slowly destroy the world. I never knew it would be so soon.
Your worst fears are coming true, funny boy. But, oh well, I guess all we can do is sit back and say, oh well.
Yeah. I guess the internet was fun while it lasted.
Yeah. So, you know, we may all be dead next week, end of the world, but, you know, at least I lived a pretty decent life.
Well, gentlemen, it's been fun, but my phone seems to be picking up some static, so the battery might be ready to die. So, I'm going to call it the evening and check out. I appreciate you inviting me onto the show.
Awesome. It was nice having you on, man. Maybe some other time we can get you back on again.
Home.
You broke up there. Do you want to call this a show then, Mesa?
I think so, but I think he said owned. I'm not exactly sure. That's kind of sounds like what he said.
Alright. Cool. Cool. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this episode then. Until next time, per usual, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. You got anybody you want to give shouts to, Mesa?
Nope.
Well, I want to give shouts to Flo and Lucky, my two new dog friends in the MPAA. And that's gonna about wrap it up. Oh, also shouts to the guy who owns phoneswarm.com for linking to us on his website. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. But that's going to wrap it up for the show. So keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Bellcore Radio. And this is the end of file.
Crash and burn.
Too bad, Corey. Guess that makes me the winner. Again.
Temporary winner. I've been holding back. I've been giving you a break, just so you get the hang of it. But now it's time to teach you a little respect. Right.
But it'll have to be next time. It's almost fourth period, and I do not want to get caught in here.
But, Jenny, hold up. Look, I brought a disc, and we could copy this, okay? And we can play it on my brother's computer.
Okay, no problem. All we gotta do is...
Whoa. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Did I hear you right? Did I hear you saying that you're gonna make a copy of a game without paying? Come on, guys! I thought you knew better. Don't copy that floppy!
Wait a minute. Who the heck are you anyway?
Yeah, and what are you doing on my computer?
I'm your MC, Double Tap, DP, that's the disc protector for you and the posse, that's the artists, writers, designers, and programmers that work up the images for games and grammar to let you learn, but also play the game you came here for today. Now I know you love the games, and that's alright to do, because the posse who make them, they love them too. But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
But I just wanted to make one copy.
You say, I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make one and she'll make one, and where will it end? One leads to another, then 10, then more. And no one buys any discs from the store. So no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and then closes the store. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you. No common San Diego, no more Oregon Trail. Tetris and the others, they're all gonna fail. Not because we want it, but because you're just taking it. Disrespecting all the folks who are making it. The more you take, the less there will be. The discs become fewer, the games fall away. The screen starts to shrink, and then it will fade. Programs fall through a black hole in space. The computer world becomes bleak and dark. Loses its life, and the screen goes to dark. Welcome to the end of the computer age. But I'm much too strong and you're much too smart to let that happen to your chances to explore parts of the new age just behind the doors of your mind. You're the posse of the future and you hold in your brain things never thought of before. And in time, you'll teach us so much more. That's why I'm here and what I'm fighting for. Don't copy that floppy. Now let me introduce you to some of the team. They'll explain a little more about what I mean.
The game I just finished working on is called Neverwinter Nights, and it's an online version of a Dungeons & Dragons game. Different people around the country can set up their computers and play this game together. A team of people will contribute different parts. The graphics people will do the pictures, the sound people will do the sound or the sound effects or the music that you hear, and the programmer actually ties all that together to make the complete game.
By the time you add up all the people that are involved in creating an application, you'll end up with as many as 20 or 30 people.
It's fun work. It's challenging work. I get a thrill out of seeing something actually working, something that I put together. And when it actually starts to work, you may hear me yelling down the hall, "It's working, it's working."
There's great advantages to owning the original piece of software. For example, there'll be documentation and manuals that'll come with it.
Normally you have instructions, you also have warranties, you also have, in some cases, upgrades, if there are upgrades.
We're available to you. You can call us on the phone and we'll answer your questions that might come up about the software. Any kind of technical support you might have or need, we'll be there to help you.
If people keep stealing the game, the company makes less money, and therefore it may not want to make new games.
So we might say, well, that didn't sell very well. They don't like it. We won't make any more of those.
As a result of that, a tremendous amount of money and revenue is lost by the computer industry from this happening.
Although the licenses may vary, the law is very simple. The copyright law says that when you buy a piece of software, you can put that software on one computer, and that's it. You can make a backup copy of the software, but you can't give that backup copy to a friend, and you can't put it on another computer. Every program that you buy, that's one program for one computer.
We need you to be a part of our team also. The team of people who design and create the games are excited about the prospects for the future. And if you purchase your software instead of getting it illegally, you help make that future possible.
You see, on these discs we have frozen in time the creativity of someone's mind. Do you think that because with the flick of a key you can copy that game, that the work is free? This creativity we protected by law. We value so highly what the mind's eye saw. Don't copy! Don't copy that, Bobby! Do the right thing, it's really simple for you. The copyright law, it will tell you what to do. Buy one for every computer you use. Anything else is like going to the store, taking the disc and walking out the door. It's called thinking, stealing, taking what's not yours. Is that really where you want your life to go? Think about it. I don't think so. Don't copy. Don't copy that floppy.
Now, wait a minute, man. Let me get this straight. You're telling me that I can't even make a copy of the science program just to use it on? That's bogus. Everybody does it. Those big companies have lots of money. This one copy is not going to hurt them.
Hold on. I think I know what they're trying to say. It's like, well, you know I love computers. I might want to be a programmer someday. Now, if I spent a whole year working on a really cool game or science program, I know I wouldn't want a couple kids like us making all kinds of free copies. Because then how do I get paid?
But they can't stop people from copying. It's too easy.
Yeah, it might be easy, but it's still going to last. And hey, I'm too young for a life of crime.
Right, like I'm a criminal.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Say you see a game you like and you really want to try it. Don't copy that floppy, just go to the store and buy it. Think of it this way, okay? When you buy a disc, you're saying to the team, we respect what you do and what you're working for. We'll keep up our support so you can make us some more. We'll do the right thing and the future will be clear. There will be new programs year after year. Don't copy, don't copy that floppy. Now you know how the games and the programs are made and what to do to make sure they're not gonna fade. The bottom line is, it's all up to you. There's nothing more that I can do. The ball's in your court, dribble, shoot, or pass. I'm sure you'll make your decision with class. Don't copy that floppy beat, ya. I'm outta here.
Don't even think about it.
Look, I do have some money left over from my summer job.
Hey, you can buy your own game with a manual.
Do you think we have some time left over for another quick game?
Oh, it'll be quick, all right. Won't take me long to beat you.
No way, this time you're going down in flames.
Move over.